Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Hubbard's sweetheart deal. Also, the state readies for historic execution. And will the legislature dare pass a gaming bill?
I triple dog dare ya!
Ooh, the triple dog dare. I'm all for it. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire.
Howdy.
And Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hi, Josh. Hey,
coming from beautiful, beautiful Madison, right, Josh?
Yeah. Snow-encased Madison. Like I'm living in a snow globe here.
Y'all got it rough up there this past week, and a lot of people in the state got it rough.
They did. We were fortunate. We didn't get it very bad, but the road was quiet.
Thankfully, most people remained safe and alert. We're almost at the point of starting session.
Oh, God.
And a lot of groups, a lot of special interests will try to influence legislation during this session.
Of course.
None more so than the Alabama Policy Institute. The Alabama Policy Institute. We started back in the 90s as a right-wing think tank. Now, it says it's partisan, bipartisan, but there's nothing bipartisan about them. But again, they have every right to lobby for their issues as anyone else. But they seem to always be against stuff. They seem to be more against things than they're actually for. You know, they want to curtail the rights of libraries to decide what collections they have. They want to control what children can read, what the teachers can teach. They want to do all those things to control people's lives rather than giving them the freedom to choose, which I always thought was kind of a very conservative idea. But Josh, one of the things I did appreciate is that they want to keep kids away from books that might have sexually explicit material in them, but they do want to make sure they can go to work legally at 14.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing says child safety like child labor. Honestly, you know, the idea that this is a nonpartisan entity under the tax laws is really absurd. But
it is.
Look at the list of things. You're right. It's another one of those kind of right wing things where they fulfill this self-fulfilling prophecy of the dysfunctional government by making sure that the government is dysfunctional and then saying, hey, look at that dysfunctional government. You know, it's just exactly. Honestly, it's so ridiculous. Some of the things that are in this, the banning of the books or trying to keep the sexually explicit material out of the hands of children, which of course then they get to define what is and isn't sexually explicit material.
Right.
And so I think that's where obviously everybody on earth does not want porn in the hands of small kids.
It's not
exactly an argument that anybody's making here. Yet what we have is this group over here that's trying to do these things with libraries and ban books that are simply talking about the experiences of children who have gone, especially LGBTQ kids who are going through struggles and hard times and helping them learn and their parents learn about the realities of those situations. And they don't want to normalize that because they fear it.
And the other thing is,
you know,
yeah. And they want to ban books about Black history, but you know, I went to work when I was 14, I had a paper route. I delivered papers and all that didn't hurt me all, but you know, nobody suggested that I go to work to make up for the employment shortage. Mm-hmm. You know, so their idea is to how to, I guess they want to get kids back on the factory floor.
What they would rather do instead of.
I didn't understand that we were going to have to put kids back on the factory lines, although apparently some manufacturers in the state have done so.
Yeah.
Not that our AG would know anything about that.
Yeah, go
but,
ahead.
You know, they'd rather do that than address things like, I don't know, daycare so that more mothers can go back to work, or, you know, childcare, or, you know, anything like that. And to enable, they don't want to address the other issues. They'd rather just say, well, you know, we can just put the 14 and 15 year olds.
Well, and I think you should do away.
You know, they don't need to be educated. Just put them to work.
Do away with the minimum wage too, and that way you can put their little butts to work for $2.50.
Well, and let's not forget, they're also opposing the lottery bill. You know, they're wanting to reduce the governor's ability to, you know, for the state of emergency and all of that out of the COVID-19.
They're still fighting.
They're still fighting all of that. And, you know, make sure that people have, you know, access to their health care and whatever for their pandemic thing. But then right behind that, they want to make sure that, you know, abortion stays where it is. So screw women's health care. But nevertheless, that's API for
you. Yeah, that's, you know, but again, they're you know, you and they have their arm, their media arm that promotes all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. Because really, it's all about control and them having power.
Exactly. No, wait. They have no affiliation with 1819.
Well, I didn't say they had. I said they have media outlet.
So. Yeah.
They spout the same nonsense. It's like that goes. But I will tell you, here's a group that does none of that. And this group, the Voice for Alabama Children, Susan, they want to do some of the things you said. They actually want to help moms and dads and children.
Mm-hmm. They want to, you know, they're advocating for the expansion of Medicaid, which will help about 300,000 working families and their children. They want to expand mental health services for children, improve the child care industry, while not only, you know, helping to maybe reduce the cost, also to help improve the facilities that are providing the child care, and, you know, provide the pre-K program, which has been quite a success in Alabama.
So, Josh, we have one group over here that wants to put the kids to work at 14 on the factory floor, and we got another one over here that wants to help the parents and the kids. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Voices has always been a fantastic organization, and they've always, you know, issued out great research and provided the state with a fantastic service. So what they really do every year is they shine a bright light on the problems, and they tell us exactly what the problems are, and then we watch helplessly from the sidelines as our politicians run around and do the exact opposite and create nonsense problems to address with stupid bills about library books and things like that. While we have all of these real well-articulated problems that Voices brings up that they avoid like the plague, because those are hard things to deal with and they're hard conversations to have, and we have to devote money to fixing some of these problems. And, you know, why would you do that when you could just build another prison?
Right. There you go. Not far of that cradle to prison pipeline, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. But I will say that Speaker Ledbetter, Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, has voiced the concerns of how do we address getting more people back to the workforce, and talked about child care.
Yes.
He has also talked about any type of private public partnership that could extend not Medicaid, but health care to more people in Alabama. So I will have to give him credit for saying there's at least a conversation going. If we can keep that conversation going, maybe we get somewhere. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the Voice of Alabama Politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, Josh, we have heard this song so many times that we know the tune, that there's a push to get gaming legislation through the legislature to allow the people to vote. It's not about their passing gaming. They're not doing it. This is about letting the people vote on gaming. Now, there's something different this year. Representative Andy Witt from Harvest has worked with a group, an ad hoc group, to put together what could be a very comprehensive bill that would pass the House. Now, Speaker Ledbetter has said publicly that he wants to get this issue done. He wants to go ahead and get it over with, to make it legal, decide what's illegal, and get a control over it. Governor Ivey has said she wants a comprehensive package. Well, Josh, this type of thing just might happen because we've never had a speaker that was for it.
Yeah, it's we're living in a somewhat different world with this. You know, we've never really had, you're right, we've never really had leadership on the House side that was behind an effort to do this. You know, typically the best we could have hoped for is leadership to say, well, we'll let it get to the floor and we'll just see, I guess. But there has, you know, usually been no real push for, especially a specific bill, because what has doomed some other bills in the past has been a speaker that has said, all right, we're going to let through the comprehensive bill, but we're also going to entertain proposals for lottery only or for other things and for other measures. And so, you know, it just muddied the waters up a lot on this thing. And I think if we can stay focused on this bill that's being written by the lawmakers, all right. They've taken great care to say that, you know, there's been no special interest that's had input on this. There's nobody that they're allowing to have input on writing the bill. And so they're going to write it themselves and they're going to put it out. And so it's going to be their baby.
Well, and Susan, Speaker Ledbetter, Representative Witt, they've all said, look, we've got hundreds and maybe even thousands of illegal games being played in Alabama. It's time to rein those in by making sure we know what's legal, what's illegal. And they want to include in this thing, they want to include table games, bingo. Mm-hmm. They want a lottery. They also want sports wagering. And this is what I think Governor Ivey was talking about when she said we need a comprehensive bill. Let's get it all settled one time and be done with it.
Yeah, and to redefine when you said illegal gaming. Now, they're not talking about Victory Land or the Porch Creek or Grain Track. No. What they're talking about is the 7-Eleven down the street that's got two or three slot machines in the background.
Yeah.
And those are rampant. And so it would get that under control, as well as allow the other casinos to become more of destination places that people want to go, you know, to bring more revenue to the state. And so therefore the state gets revenue off the taxes. So it looks like it's got some pretty good teeth, because Representative Witt's getting quite a bit of pushback.
Yeah, Josh,
on it.
You talked to Representative Witt about some of the hostility he's faced. Can you talk to that?
Yeah. It's, you know, I've talked to him a couple of times. We actually had him on our podcast. He's one of the rare Republicans to appear on our podcast, although all are invited. You know, he talked about some of the pushback that he's received on this, and some of the things that he took as threats that he's received from people, especially outside of the state entities. He wouldn't go into a lot of detail about it because he said he didn't want to give them any more publicity than they needed to. But yeah, he's received a ton of feedback on this stuff and negative reaction to what they're trying to do, and he talked about, you know, some of the things that he's done. You know, he went with law enforcement on these trips around the state to view these places, these illegal operations and legal operations. And he talked about, you know, going at one place, he went that they had games set up in the back of a florist. You know, I mean, it was, he said that, and in one place they went in, and when they went into the room where the machines were, everybody ran out the back door. And,
oh, my goodness.
He's like, so he said, I had to think something must be, they, at least they thought they were doing something illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he said, you know, that's what's happening. And really we're in a position at this point where if we pass a gambling legalization bill, and you know, establish these entities around the state, whether it's 7 or 8 entities around the state, we're going to be in the unique position of actually reducing gaming in the state. By putting in more teeth into the laws and actually shutting some of these places down and creating a commission to kind of oversee gaming that's going on in the state.
You're not expanding gaming.
No,
you're contracting.
Yeah, by a lot, actually.
Yeah,
and this is another point that I think is not talked about enough, is you're also, when you establish these places that are going to be around the state, that are going to be the casinos there, you're talking about creating 12,000 to 15,000 permanent jobs.
Yeah.
Well-paying permanent jobs around the state.
And you know what?
And the ripple effect that has on the businesses around.
The state has spent billions creating fewer jobs over the years, and that state is not having to do anything but let the people vote. And the people that will build these casinos, like the Porch Creek, the Victory Land folks, those people, they're not going to ask the state for a dime.
No.
Because they're going to do it with their own money.
They don't need to.
And then they're going to give you $1 billion every year, basically.
Yeah.
For the privilege.
You know what? Yeah. If they could just give me $100,000 a year extra, I'd be fine.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
But $1 million would be even better, right, Josh?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you know, if they, what we're talking about is a way to transform what we're doing in the state. We have the opportunity right
That's
now
right.
To establish this lottery that creates scholarships for Alabama kids. We could create free community college like they have in Tennessee.
Yeah.
We could have all sorts of programs, and we could also expand healthcare in the state using this money. I know that people get into the, you know, it preys on this person, it preys on that person, but here's the reality. We already have billions and billions of dollars worth of gaming going on in this state right now.
And have for
and we're
years.
Getting zero benefits from it.
That's right. And it's groups like Alpha and API that go around and threaten people and lie, lie about what they're thinking and what they're doing, because it's none of these things. It is about legalizing, getting rid of the illegal gamblers, about legislating it, about governing
and regulating
and getting money for it.
Yeah.
But again, it's none of these other things.
Yeah.
These other things are distractions.
If you don't want to gamble, don't gamble.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you look at who's opposing it and look at the reason they might be opposing it, follow the money, folks.
Absolutely. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, Susan, I love it, and I know you do too, and Josh does as well, when Alabama is number one. When we're number one in football, everybody gets so excited. When we're number one in anything, we're excited.
There's a reason to get excited, so it's so rare.
But now we're going to be number one in the world for being the first people on the planet to execute someone with nitrogen. We're going to do that on the 25th of this month, unless somebody stands up and says, as Josh would say, what are you doing? You know,
it's called nitrogen hypoxia.
Yeah.
Which basically what they're doing is they're filling the mask full of nitrogen and not oxygen. So you're essentially smothering them to death, which I can't imagine would be something that's very comfortable.
Josh, they're going to march this guy into the holding place for the where they execute folks. They're going to strap a mask on his face and they're going to pump nitrogen in there instead of air.
Yeah, and we have no real idea of you know, if it's going to work, if it's, you know, going to be extremely painful, if, you know, we don't have anything, but we're okay with that because we're killing somebody in this pro-life state. And so, you know, we're happy to be innovators when it comes to something awful, apparently.
And let us not forget the last time they tried to execute this gentleman, they botched it.
Yeah, they could
terribly botched it.
They've already tried to kill him once. And again, I know people have different views on the death penalty. I if you can be 100% certain, I still have problems with it. I don't know that we are, from my standpoint, I don't know that you can be pro-life or pro the gospel and think, I mean, the Jesus' gospel and think you ought to kill people. But Kenneth Eugene Smith, was convicted of a murder for hire. The first jury, Susan, said that they found him guilty. There was problems with the trial. The second trial, they found him guilty, sentenced him to life in prison. Mm-hmm. Then the judge overrode that.
That's where I have a problem.
And the judge came in and said, oh, no, we're going to put him to death.
The jury was 11-1 to give him a life sentence. And then the judge came in and overrode, like you said, overrode their verdict and gave him, you know, a death penalty. Now, a few years ago, the Alabama legislature stopped judicial override.
Yeah.
They did a bill that made it very clear that this was not going to happen again, that the jury's verdict would stand.
Yeah.
However, they did not make it retroactive.
Right.
Which I don't understand why they didn't make it retroactive, because if it's something that they think shouldn't happen going forward, why would they think it shouldn't happen in you know, going back?
And Josh, we've been talking about this since it passed in 2017, and we still can't get a good answer on why it wasn't retroactive.
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? And I know why, to some extent. The folks who were behind the bill, Chris England, who was pushing this bill to stop judicial override, finally had to compromise to get the bill passed. And one of the compromises that he put in there was that we wouldn't make it retroactive. And honestly, having talked to Chris about it since then, he kind of thought that what would happen is common sense would prevail. And we would say, well, since we're not going to do this anymore, maybe courts would then step in and say, well, you know, it's been stopped by the state, so we're not going to allow future executions to take place. But, you know, I'm with you. I understand that people have different views on the death penalty. And to be quite honest, I struggle with views on the death penalty myself from time to time. I mean, I understand completely the argument that any death penalty imposed, you're basically executing a person, you know, for vengeance, because you've got him locked up. He poses no threat to society at that point. So what are we doing if we keep him locked in prison for life? But, you know, on the other hand, I also know that there are some heinous crimes that take place, and want to send the message that we're just not going to tolerate that. And so I struggle with it, but I don't struggle with this at all. You shouldn't be experimenting on human beings.
Yeah.
No.
No. And my
he's not a lab rat, okay?
Yeah, and that's right. And my take on this is this man was sentenced to life in prison. Mm-hmm. Yes. We know statistically that most judicial overrides are around election time mm-hmm. because they want to prove mm-hmm. how tough they are on crime.
Right.
The legislature did not let this go through the way it should have because they wanted to appear tough on crime. And so we're going to be tough on crime. I know this guy murdered this one. I don't know it, but the jury convicted him of
right,
murder.
Right.
All right. I'll accept that he murdered. I can't accept that you changed the law for some people and other people, you know, we're still going to kill you. And that's what we're doing. We are killing people. And for those who believe in sins of omission and sins of commission, if this is a sin and you pay taxes, you're paying to kill these people. And some people are okay with that. I struggle with the death penalty because I'm not 100% sure. We're always 100% sure.
Right.
But anyway, I want to move it on to a guy who did 2 years in prison. We got one of the more sweetheart deals of any white man I know. Because if he'd have been a black man, his butt would have gone way to prison.
And he'd still be there.
Mike Hubbard was convicted of 12 counts of felony ethics violations. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison. But because he had friends in high places, and the judiciary found problems with the case that no one in their white mind could find. But he did serve 28 months in prison, and that was not a pleasant 28 months, I'm sure. But he also, Susan, owes the state over $200,000, and he hasn't paid a dime of it yet. He's been out for a year. And now the state, that Steve Marshall, the attorney general over here, has made a deal with Mike Hubbard. He's only got to pay what?
$1,000 a month for 17 years. Now, my understanding is Hubbard's been out of prison for 2 years. He hasn't bothered to talk to anybody. He hasn't responded to any attempts to contact him about this money. And now Steve Marshall has had to go and sue him to get $1,000 a month for 17 months, and I bet we'll never see a dime of it.
Josh, we only got about 13 seconds. What do you think?
Well, I think that it is a pretty good deal, but you know, at least they're going to finally get something out of it. I mean, he's been out of prison for more than a year at this point, and they've not gotten a dime. But and so at least some money is going to be coming in, and maybe they can recoup a chunk of it over the rest of his life.
I tell you, well, it's nice to have.
Good luck with that.
You know, for all criminals, it's nice to have friends in high places. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.